brought to you by Penguin.
Miss Austin Investigates by Jessica Ball, read by Mia McKenna Bruce.
The eight children of the Reverend Mr. George Austin and his good lady wife, Mrs. Cassandra Austin, née Lee. Listed in order of their birth by a partial, prejudiced and ignorant family historian. The Reverend Mr. James Austin, born 1765. The eldest, an accident of birth he regards as divine providence. Mr. George, Georgie Austin, born 1766. Before I could write or speak, he taught me how to talk with my fingers. Mr. Edward Neddy Austin, later Knight, born 1767. My favourite. For it's only prudent that one's wealthiest brother is one's favourite. Lieutenant Henry Austin, born 1771. Beastly. The most horrid brother who ever lived. Miss Cassandra Austin, born 1773. The sweetest, kindest, most gullible of creatures. Lieutenant Francis Frank Austin, born 1774. Young, tenacious, away at sea a lot. Miss Jane Austin, born 1775. Come now, do I really need an introduction? Midshipman Charles Austin, born 1779. See Frank. Chapter 1. Hampshire, England, 11th of December, 1795. By moonlight, Jane hitches up the hem of her muslin gown and darts across a neatly scythed lawn. The fireworks are over, but the musky tang of gunpowder lingers in her throat, and the din of a raucous crowd rises above the efforts of the string quartet performing in the Tudor mansion behind her. It is 9 o'clock, and the ball has hardly begun. Jane, accompanied by two of her elder brothers, James and Henry, arrived less than an hour ago. But already the finest society in all of Hampshire are tipsy and braying at each other over the melody. As she crosses the manicured garden, Jane crouches behind each colossal tower of yew to check for onlookers. Her heart pounds at the ruinous prospect of being spotted. God forbid she is caught sneaking away from the party unchaperoned. Her feet are cold, and damp is seeping through her shell-pink silk slippers. They were made for pirouetting on polished mahogany, not dashing across frosty grass. Her breath turns to steam. The bare branches of a laburnum reach out like the bony arms of a great skeleton, but she races on regardless. Tonight, she and her clever young man will come to their agreement. He'll make her an offer of marriage. She's sure of it. Which words will Tom select for his purpose? My dearest Jane, you must allow me to tell you. Miss Austin, I offer myself to you. She will listen carefully and commit each phrase to memory. It could prove useful the next time one of her heroines receives a proposal. Flickering lamps guide her path to the glass house. She presses down gently on the door handle, yet it creaks and the hinges groan as she slips inside. Exotic orchids perfume the misty atmosphere, and she touches a hand to the back of her head. Her maid coiled her chestnut hair into a passably elegant chignon, with ringlets framing her face. If her curls turn to frizz, her brothers will guess where she's been and report her to their mother. A lean figure steps out from behind a desert pine. He is fair with distinguished features and instantly recognizable in his ivory swallowtail coat. Mademoiselle? The deep timbre of his voice dissolves Jane's heart and propels her towards him. Pausing just out of his reach, she gazes upwards through fluttering eyelashes. It was most wicked of you to lure me here alone. His bright blue eyes sparkle and his mouth curls into a seductive smile. You understood my message then? I understood you perfectly, Monsieur Lefroy. Jane's gaze locks on his lips and she lets herself be gathered tight into his arms. His mouth hovers over hers and she tips her head back to accept his kiss. She is almost, but not quite, as tall as he. Their relative statures seem designed to aid their amour. Glued together, they stumble into a row of shelves. Beside Jane, a terracotta pot tumbles and smashes at her feet. Dark earth spills across the clay floor tiles. She breaks free, stooping to pick up the tangle of roots and placing the plant carefully back inside its damaged...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?